Good morning and welcome back to the second hour of Shattering Myths, where we expose the misconceptions associated with religion. In this hour, we're going to engage God on His terms. We're going to come to know Him through His Torah, which means teaching, not law, and by way of His covenant, a relationship which features five conditions and five benefits. We're going to talk about things that not one in a million people have had the opportunity to discover. This morning, as I was came into my study before the program, there was a letter in my email inbox, and I'm going to share that letter with you because the author of the letter, who I had not met, still have not met, I have not even talked to, but we're going to have that opportunity here in a moment. His name is Craig. He is writing from New Mexico. I want to share with you what he wrote and my response, and then Craig has been kind enough to call in, and we'll have a bit of discussion. Now, the reason that I think that this is so timely is because Craig has recently done, at least earnestly begun, the process that we are encouraging all of you to embark on. And he has come from the same place that many of you may currently be. Now, I've asked him for permission to share his letter. He gave it to me this morning. So let me share his letter to me, my response, and then we'll speak to Craig. He says, "Hello, my name is Craig, and I have called myself a Christian for better part of 40 years. Recently, I was a member of Calvary Chapel in my hometown here in New Mexico, and I thought that I had found my, in quotes, church home. But inexplicably, I was led away from this church by God's Spirit, I'm sure. I didn't really know what to do or why this had happened until I began to read Yada Yahweh, which, by the way, is now Yada Yah. And I realized that there was a whole new world out there that God wanted to show me. I have been reading these websites and have noticed an evolution that God has wrought in a lot of people. The amount of knowledge that God is increasing is exponential as the time of the end approaches. I believe we are very close to the return of Yahusha, and Yahweh is preparing those who are crying out for understanding. There have been many instances when I was teaching younger Christians where my studies would lead me to apparent contradictions and to confusion to the point that I had to completely discount passages of Scripture. I am so relieved to know that the Spirit who was gently nudging me away from the craziness, and the craziness was the church itself. I thank God for this information, and I know it is Him doing it, as I have received confirmation from His Spirit in the way He has always confirmed things for me throughout my life as a believer, hopefully throughout His former life as a believer, which I can't really explain, by the way. May God bless. Craig." Here's my response to Craig, and then we will speak to him here live. "Hello, Craig. Welcome. It's nice being out of Babylon." I used Babylon because he will know what that means. Christianity is Babylon. The military system that we deploy today is Babylon. The corruption and the indoctrination of politics and patriotism is Babylon. It is those things which confuse people. It's the one thing that Yahweh asked Abraham to walk away from before they would even begin the discussion of the covenant. It's nice being out of Babylon, isn't it? For those who are still mired in the muck and confusion of religion, the thought of walking away from their faith is frightening. And yet there is no better place than Yah's covenant family. As you may know, we've just updated Yada Yah, making tens of thousands of edits based upon what we have learned. And we have just begun offering an introduction to God at introtogod.org. It contains a literal treasure of information regarding Yahweh, His word, His name, His teaching, His covenant, His instructions, His invitations, and His way. As you grow away from religion and toward a relationship with Yah, remain focused on His testimony, the Torah, the prophets, and the Psalms. When you observe His testimony closely, examining And carefully considering it, you are in the best position for the set-apart spirit, that is the adjective that Yah uses to describe his spirit. It is the best place for the set-apart spirit to enrich, to enlighten, and to empower you. Yahusha's return is going to occur in year 6000 Yah, on Yom Kippurim, the Day of Reconciliations, which is October 2nd, 2033. So it isn't very far away. That was my exchange with Craig this morning. He sent me a question immediately thereafter, and I asked him if he wouldn't mind not only asking his question on the air, but sharing his experience with us. Craig, are you with us?
Yes.
Hi, Craig.
Hi.
You are like so many. You were not just a Christian, but you taught in Bible studies in a Christian church. Is that correct?
I used to teach, everything from just regular Bible studies to church history, and we actually had a college starting where I was sort of a semi-professor type that. I was supposed to teach church history, but, things kind of didn't work out.
So your challenge was the same challenge I had. For those who do not know, I was the youngest ordained ruling elder, I think, in the history of the Presbyterian Church at the time. I was a trained evangelist. I was a trained Stephen to minister. I was leader of Bible studies in my church. I was about as churchy as a person could be in their youth. And I ultimately began to walk away from the religion of Christianity because there were too many questions that I could not answer. You know, everything from why was it on the alleged resurrection day, which Christians don't know as first fruits, why is it on that day that everybody in Yahusha's life, by the way, why do we call him Jesus when his name is Yahusha? That was one of the questions. Why is it that no one recognized him? Why is it that his own mother, the women in his life, the guys on the road to Emmaus who had spent the last year with him, even his disciples, why was it that no one could recognize him if he was bodily resurrected? Why is it that he said on his last words on the upright pole, there is no cross in Scripture, that's a pagan symbol, why was it that he said, my God, why have you abandoned me? Why have you forsaken me? Why would he say that kind of thing? And why would he say that in his most famous sermon, Sermon on the Mount, why would he say that nothing in the Torah, not even a part of any one of the letters that comprise the Hebrew words that comprise the Torah, is going to change? And then you read Paul's text when he says the Torah has been annulled. How do you deal with that? And so, was those some of the issues that were perplexing to you, which is, as you said, I don't know how to answer these questions.
We would have discussions, in men's groups and whatnot. And people would come up with their own ideas a lot. And I would just, have to, put my hand down and say, look, I want to know what God says about this, okay?
Yes.
I don't want to know what you guys think, because what we think is and we discuss among ourselves is really counterproductive and irrelevant unless we have what God actually is telling us. Okay.
Correct.
So but that kind of thing was always kind of roiling my mind as I was teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And that when you're teaching like teenagers, they ask questions that are coming right out of no knowledge. Okay.
Yeah.
So
right.
they ask questions that are basic, and when you have a hard time answering those questions, that you don't know as much as you think you know. Okay.
Let me play someone here that's a child in one of your Bible studies, and let me ask you make a statement, ask a question, and pretend you're back in the mode of Bible study teacher. All right, we know that you say that as Christians, we're supposed to be followers of Jesus. Is that correct? So, if we're supposed to be followers of Jesus, was he not Torah observant? Why are we not Torah observant?
That's a good question. the thing is, how would I explain that? Well,
you can't. You can't.
You would say, things have changed. Well, things haven't changed.
So you're telling me that the God who told us to be Torah observant is now decided he changed his mind and he no longer wants us to be Torah observant. Is that what you're telling me? So God changed the rules.
Yeah.
Let me ask you another question, Teach. If he changed the rules, if he said, okay, these are the rules, I want you to be Torah observant, and then he changed the rules and said, I don't want you to be Torah observant, why would you trust him now?
Well, hey, that's another good question. My questions were exactly those in the back of my mind, and I was like thinking, well, gee whiz, I don't have a good answer for these kids. And
can I ask you another question, Teach?
Sure.
While we're doing this, okay? The God who we don't seem to know his name of that thing we call the Old Testament. He wrote in stone that we are to observe the Sabbath. Why is it that we don't do that and we instead get together and worship in church services on Sunday, Teach?
Well, I don't know.
Do you think God changed his mind and that Sabbath thing just no longer pertains?
Well, apparently so, because that's what we've been taught. But
by whom, Teach? Who taught you that you ought to observe Sunday? Was it God?
From Luther on down,
Yeah, but guess what? As you began, you said the right thing, and I hope you're comfortable with us playing this role-playing game here. But the reality is that the Sunday observation is the teaching of man, where observing the Sabbath is the teaching of Yah. We've come to the end of this first segment. Can you stay with us in the next segment, Craig?
Sure.
All right. This is Shattering Myths. We encourage your call, 877-300-76. Good morning and welcome back to Shattering Myths. We were in the midst of a conversation with Craig, who's been kind enough to role play with me in this last segment, and we're going to have more discussions with Craig. But before we go there, I'm going to ask for a quick mulligan. For those who have played golf, a mulligan is a second swing at a shot. I was asked the question about, isn't it America's responsibility to protect trade routes? And the primary thing I should have said, I forgot to say, so let me just add this for those who listened to the first segment. The last time a superpower was responsible in a global way for world trade, it was Imperial Rome. And Imperial Rome was amongst the most perverse, corrupt, grotesquely immoral, bloody, oppressive nations on earth. I don't think that's a role that Americans should follow. That's something that we need to think about before we say, this is a responsibility. Look who has been there before and what they were like. All right, we're back with Craig. He's been kind enough to answer questions, the kind of questions that as a Christian, any one of these questions ought to be enough if you're open-minded, if you're thinking, to get you to do the same thing that Craig ultimately did, which is to walk away from his religion. Now, Craig, when you began this process and you realized, hey, there's something here amiss, I can't answer these questions, and man's answers are not acceptable. They're not providing any clarity or any help in any of this, and you stumbled on Yada Yah. What were your first impressions as you began reading how different Yah's testimony is from your Christian doctrine?
Well, you know, when I first started reading it, I was I got really excited, you know, and I realized that many of the things that I've been thinking, and I have discussions with my brother, who's also a Christian, and you know, that we had been talking about for years was just right there on a silver platter, you know, and everything that I wanted to know about God was coming to life. And that, you know, when I was teaching, you know, I was a technician in the Navy for many, mm-hmm. many years, and I used to teach, you know, other technicians. And I was an expert, so I knew what I was talking about. But mm-hmm. when I was teaching, you know, God's Word, what I thought was God's Word, I got to the point where it was increasingly that I thought that, well, you know, God, I'm just a knucklehead. I don't know what I'm talking about here, you know, because the questions that people would ask and want to know the answers to, you'd have to really dance around and then, you know, you'd have to go back and study again, thinking, well, you know, what's God's answer to this? And well, many times I couldn't find it, you know. And I couldn't.
What you shared here, I'll just interrupt you here, because what you shared here is something that that I have found universal of those who come out of Christianity to form a relationship with Yahweh. And that is that when they're exposed to Yah's own testimony, properly translated, conveyed in the way that he conveyed it, and with commentary that says, it's okay, you can really let go of the religion, God's going to like that part, and just focus on what he is providing in terms of answers. That when you come to that point, what almost everybody I have talked to, and probably thousands and thousands of people at this point, every single one of them says exactly the same thing. That what they were reading from him was exactly what they suspected. It was the answer that they sensed was there all along. Let me give you an example, and this one may have resonated with you. It may not have, but it's one that resonated with me. One of the things that I discovered, because I did the same journey that you're now on, I have been on for the last 10 years, and because I came out of Christianity. One of the things that really bothered me about Christianity, because so many of my best friends were agnostics, was that an agnostic won't embrace God, because they recognize a God who would say, love me, or I'm going to see to it that you're tortured in hell forever, isn't lovable. If the only options for human souls are heaven and hell, as the Christian religion professes, as Islam professes as well, then God is demonic. And so, when we come back from the break, I want to talk to you about the realization that the vast majority of souls don't go to either heaven or hell. This is Shattering Myths. We'll be back after the break. Good morning and welcome back to Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yada. You can reach us at 877-376-45. We're in the midst of a conversation with Craig from New Mexico, someone who for 40 years considered themselves a Christian, taught Bible study, and finally began to question his religion because there were far too many things that he was asked that there was no answer for in Christianity. We've discussed several of those, and we came to a point where I was going to share one of mine, one of the ones that I'd been asked the most often. I was in the midst of sharing that, and we'll get Craig's reaction as to whether or not this was something that also resonated with him. One of the things that agnostics will tell you is that a God who says, love me, or I'm going to see to it that you're tortured in hell forever, isn't lovable. That kind of a God is sadistic. And every rational atheist or agnostics I have ever talked to has that as their primary objection to forming a relationship with God. I would not want to know a God like that. And Christians, of course, are unwilling to grapple with that. Well, what I found when I began to study Yah's testimony in his original language is that the vast preponderance of statements regarding our eternal fate speak of something that isn't talked about at all in Christianity. The vast preponderance of human souls, we are told, end up ceasing to exist. You get your life, you got your immortal life, you had your opportunity of free will, you were given a conscience that you could think about the options that God was offering you to come to know Him, and if you chose to not come to know Him, to ignore Him, or to form a relationship with a mythical God of religion, the end of your life was the end of your life. There was no punishment, there was no hell, it was simply over. Your soul would cease to exist. And that only those who actively lead people away from God by being overtly religious, by being leaders in a religion, by being leaders politically, where they publicly lead people astray with falsehood, only those individuals are tormented forever in a place called Sheol. And even then, there are no tortures. The only anguish happens to be the anguish associated with there really was a God. He really wanted to have a relationship with me. And not only did I reject Him, I led others away from Him. For example, in that place, there will be lots of popes. And then there is the option to choose God, to choose to form a relationship with Him on the terms and conditions of His covenant, where those who make that choice, which will be very few, we're told that it is thousands amongst billions, which is one in a million, that those individuals get to live forever in God's home. When you discovered that in reading Yada Yada, Craig, what was your reaction?
Well, you know, I had always suspected that. You know, when you're talking to people, well, you're going to hell, you know. Well, you know, that's not a real Christian thing to say to somebody, a real nice thing to say to somebody. And, you know, I think God was always kind of tapping me on the head and saying, well, you know, that's not true, bud. These people are right.
Yeah.
They say that when your life is over, it's over. You know, a lot of people will say that. Oh, you know, there's no such thing as God. When your life is over, it's over. They're right, okay?
They are right. For the vast preponderance of people, they're right.
Yeah. So, you know, and it would stand to reason, because God is not a hateful destroyer. I mean, that's, you're talking Allah there, you know? So the
he went to a lot of trouble to create the universe and to create life in it and to communicate with us, to make himself known to us, for him to say, you know, what I think I'm going to do is I'm going to take all of my creation that doesn't love me, and I'm going to make certain that their eternal destination is a hellish place of continual tortures.
Right, right. And, you know,
why would you do that?
Well, also, you know, if God created us to have a relationship with him, then that's his ultimate goal. It's not punishing people. I mean, there are, you know, it's almost judicial, the punishment that in Sheol, but the goal of, hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Yeah, the goal is the covenant, is it not?
Well, the goal is a relationship, us being with him. Us being together, not him, you know, lording over us and smacking us every once in a while, but just being together. You know, he loves us more than we can even comprehend.
Right.
You know,
but not all of us.
Huh?
But not all of us. In fact, that's the next point I wanted to discuss with you. There is this notion in Christianity that God loves everybody, but yet God doesn't even know the vast majority of people on this planet. Doesn't know them. They don't know him. He doesn't know them.
Well,
one of the things that Christianity
loves us, you know, us, the people who are seeking him.
Okay? Correct.
And
that is correct.
Are trying to know him. He tries back with us. I mean, it's a two-way street.
Correct.
That is a constant conversation.
Correct.
You know, that happens all day, every day, even when you're sleeping.
Yes. Let me address that. One of the things that Christianity teaches is that first you are saved, that the goal is to be saved, and then once you're saved through this religion, you can form a relationship with God. What causes someone to think that God wants to spend eternity with someone who hasn't even bothered to get to know him? You know, if you're a Christian and you are saved, and you're going to spend eternity in heaven, and you find that heaven is the antithesis of your religion, that none of the people you know are there. They don't speak the same language that you speak there. They observe entirely different things there. They hate the religion that you practiced. Wouldn't heaven be hell for you?
Yeah, it would. And I found myself really beginning to hate religion myself.
Yes.
And after I started reading Yada Yahweh, I realized that it was God's spirit that was causing me to despise this thing that I was involved with. And I thought, am I becoming an evil person or something, you know, by mm-hmm. abandoning my religion? And I began to realize that religion, is a manipulative, hateful place to be, you know.
Correct.
And when you started hating it.
By the way, that's why Yah, in his first requirement, there are five requirements for the covenant. The first condition of the covenant is we must be willing to walk away from Babel, from the confusing, beguiling influences in our lives. And the most beguiling of these, Yah describes Babel as the source of religion. And so once we come to know Yah, once we begin to study his word, one of the things that we find out is that the ugliest thing in the universe from God's perspective is religion. He wants to cleanse us of our religion. And we begin to see it as really ugly because it is so effective at beguiling.
Yeah, something else that really bothered me was that if I'm created by God,
mm-hmm.
And then I should be able to communicate with him on a personal, intimate level.
Mm-hmm.
And I should be able to understand what he's telling me, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And if there's something getting in the way of that, then whatever that is getting in the way of my understanding of my God is evil, and I need to get rid of it.
Okay. Yeah, that brings us back to your original point, which is here you were teaching Bible study, which means that you were probably spending most of your lessons on Paul's epistles. And Paul is a false prophet. Paul did not speak for Yahweh. He spoke for himself.
Well, you know, I really started loving Isaiah more than anything else.
Good, because through Isaiah, Yah's most profound prophecies are presented. My guess is that over time, particularly if you begin reading An Introduction to God, which is, for all of you who are listening, it's intro2god.org. The person who, beyond Isaiah, that you will all fall in love with is a fellow that we call David. His name is actually Dode. It means love. His most famous, I shouldn't say his most famous, his most amazing song, Psalm, is the 119th. It is 176 verses or lyrics that reveal to us how to observe the Torah, how to benefit from the relationship that Yahweh is offering us. And it is the most brilliant piece of literature, to my mind, ever written. And what
you know, and there's something else that that I learned about God's word is that it flows, and when you read it, you don't have to read it from the standpoint of being a super scholar. But you do, you have to read it from the standpoint of it's a conversation with God, and then
yes,
whatever he says, let it infuse you and teach you, and then you read through it, and then you think about it, and you the Spirit helps you to understand what you read, and it just kind
it's an active. It's an active experience.
Right.
That's the whole nature of a relationship. A relationship requires both parties to engage.
Right.
A conversation with God is you begin by listening to him. You listen to him by reciting and studying his testimony in the Torah, prophets, and Psalms. You
right.
then think about what it is that you've considered, what he has told you, and by thinking about what you have come to know, you come to understand it. And once you come to understand it, you're in a place where you can respond to God. And that response to what it is that he is offering is this most wonderful of all conversations. When your religion could not provide you with answers to any of those questions that you were asked, you knew that the problem was your religion.
Right.
When you turn to Yahweh and every question that is meaningful about our relationship with him, why he created us, what it is that he seeks, which is this covenant relationship, does he not provide answers that are clear and stand for all of those questions?
Yes. God is faithful and true, and he always does the right thing. As I look back on my life, I've seen so many places where, you know, God has turned me in a certain direction or saved me from lots of stupid things and always faithful, you know.
Yes, and always
even
dependable.
Though I'm not.
We're at the end of our break. I have to, and we're at the end of our break. We'll be back with Shattering Myths in a moment.
Okay.
This is Yada. Hello, and welcome back to the final segment of Shattering Myths today. We've been engaged in a conversation with Craig from New Mexico. The reason that we have devoted this entire hour to this conversation with Craig is that he has come from the place that I formerly was, that many of you currently are. With an open mind, he began to question his religion. He knew that it was not right. And he came to a place where rather than just becoming an agnostic and saying God is unknowable because my questions cannot be answered, he continued to seek God, came to know him through his testimony as it's presented in Yada Yah. For those who are interested, they can go to yadayah.com and read the same thing that Craig did. Craig, the question that is most, I think, important for listeners. So you did something that is very, very scary. You were willing to question your faith. You were willing to walk away from your religion because it could not provide answers to these questions. When you did that and you then began to read Yah's testimony and Yada Yah, what did you find? What was that experience like for you?
Well, it was a feeling of relief, and it was a feeling of God was leading me all the time, you know. And it wasn't me just rejecting God. It was me rejecting religion, and that rejection came from the leading of God's Spirit.
Did you feel like you were being welcomed home?
Yes, I did. I felt like, well, you know, I mean, that's what I'm talking about. You know, that's what I've always known, but I could never find. You know?
Now, let me ask you another question related to this. In Christianity, God is worshipped. In Islam, God is worshipped. You bow down to God. You praise God in Christianity and in Islam. Did you find that the God that you met through this covenant family relationship wanted to be worshipped?
No. I found out that that God wanted to stand beside me and be with me and loved me and respected me. And,
yes.
It was an entirely different relationship than a religious relationship.
Let me ask you another question. As you began to come to know him through his Torah teaching, did you find that the Torah was filled with all of these laws which were impossible for you to obey?
Well, you know, I'm not very far into it yet, I'm looking for a text that I can read. And
good. I appreciate your honesty there, because the reason I asked you that question is that is not answered well in Yada Yah. Yada Yah presents the creation account. It presents what actually happened in the Garden of Eden. It presents what happened in the relationship with Noah during the flood. It talks about the covenant being developed with Abraham. And then it goes on through the path that Yah provided from our world to his home. I've written another 1,000 pages based upon what I've learned, called An Introduction to God. intro2god.org.
Yeah, that's what I'm reading now.
And as you begin to read it, what you're going to find that there is no Hebrew word for obey. You're going to find that Torah does not mean law. You're going to find that, God did not establish in his Torah a bunch of laws for you to obey. He's not even interested in our obedience. What the Torah represents is teaching, it's instruction, it's guidance. And it tells us how we go from the polluted world of oppression that is religion and politics, and how we walk away from that so that we can walk to him and right. enter his home and be his kid,
well,
inheriting all that he has to give.
Yeah, that his creation of the family and the father in the family is nothing like what we've turned it into. And the father of a family is not, you know, the lord of the family or anything else. The father of the family is the teacher and the lover.
Right. The protector.
The provider.
The provider.
Right.
And one of the things that most people don't know, if you use the term covenant, they'll may think, okay, that's a religious term. That's one of them. They're Old Testament terms. And, you know, that doesn't apply to us because we've got a New Testament.
Right.
You know, faith in the gospel of grace. Forget the gospel is a pagan term. Forget that grace are pagan goddesses. Covenant is based on Bereth. Bereth is based on Bayeth. It means it's a family relationship. We've come to the end of our program today. Craig, you have been a wonderful guest. Thank you. I hope you call in again. Thank you for listening to Shattering Myths. You all have yourself a wonderful Shabbat and weekend. I look forward to being with you this time on Monday morning. May Yah bless.